I'm really glad to be here with you tonight. And I
Me
really
too.
love to, I like to start out by just acknowledging kind of where we are in the seasons and our relationship to our friend the moon. The moon is currently in its waning gibbous phase, which is it's not quite halfway to the halfway point from full, right? Moving from full to half, so it's the waning phase of the moon. It'll be new in a couple weeks on February 9th, just 10 days or so from now. And it's transitioning from what in some indigenous traditions is called the wolf moon into the snow moon from January to February. The moon is in Libra, if that means anything to you, and it's Aquarius season. So happy birthday to any Aquariuses out there. Any Aquariuses out there? Happy birthday to you. I've got a number of dear Aquariuses in my life. You might have some in your life too. And February starts tomorrow, right? It's remember to celebrate Black History Month, right? Which of course should be every month, really. And also February is Heart Awareness Month. So take good care of your heart. And also just acknowledging all of the conflict and pain and heartbreak, suffering in the world right now, and however your heart might be holding that. And Friday, this Friday is Groundhog Day, which not coincidentally is also Imbolc, which is a pagan holiday that celebrates this halfway point between the winter solstice and the spring equinox. And it marks the returning of the light. It's also marking the start of lambing season. Look for little lambs soon. And it's also the time when you look for the earliest signs of spring, typically. And it also happens to be the time of year when here on the California coastline where I live, it's where the monarchs that overwinter here start to return to their more inland mating areas. And I actually live really close to a monarch preserve, and it's been really amazing to watch them on the warm days sometimes when the air is, it just gets filled with their, like, it just looks like they're magically floating bodies. And sometimes I'd never seen this before. I'd never noticed it anyway. Sometimes they hold on to each other and it's almost like they're dancing and they like carry each other to another branch or like spin slowly to the ground. And I have a friend who, whenever they see something like this out in the world, just yells out, "Nature is so queer." And I love that. It always makes me laugh. It always makes you, and I always like to remember, right? Nature is so queer. It really is. And it's that reminder for me too, that like reality is queer. And it's also, it's good to remember that like Buddha was a fan of reality. Buddha was a fan of just acknowledging, like, this is the way things are. Which, to be clear, doesn't mean that we have to be satisfied with the status quo, right? It's just that we shouldn't be in denial about what's happening around us or in us, right? Buddha saw what was happening around him, right? He was not a fan of the elaborate religious rituals of his time, which seemed to focus more on getting the ceremony right rather than giving folks better ways to understand themselves in the world. He also wasn't a fan of the caste system, which, created these artificial boundaries between people and to this day enforces them with violence. He was also not a fan of the oppression of women, seeing that despite their perceived inferiority, right? They were as capable of enlightenment as any man. And he wasn't a fan of wishing that things would always stay the same or believing in things that we ourselves haven't experienced. Right? A big part of Buddhism is remembering that everything is always changing. And this is the truth of impermanence, right? Like, can we say yes, this too? Right? Can we let go of resistance to our ideas of like how we think things should be? Right? Because there's so much pain. There's so much pain when we double down on resistance. Right? I mean, we see it. We see it all around us. Right? We see when folks get caught in a worldview that says, this isn't how things should be. Right? They hold on to some idea of belonging that is deeply exclusive and that causes so much harm. Right? We see it in the false hierarchy of racism in this country and around the world. Right? You see it in homophobia, transphobia, gender phobia, that are all about being deeply caught up in this resistance, right? That people, meaning us, right, shouldn't be like this, shouldn't love same-sex people. Everybody should fit into the gender binary. You can't change your gender, right? People trying to legislate what bathroom you can use or whether children can decide their own pronouns, right? We've heard it all. And yet we know, right? This is how we are. This is reality. We are reality. Our bodies, how we feel inside our bodies, in our lives, right? This is nature. This is reality, pure and simple. You can trust this body. It's nature. It's reality. No matter what anyone else says. And I don't know if any of you have watched this show that's it's a streaming show. It's called It's a Sin. It's on Netflix. It's like a dramatic mini series, but it's about the joy and the shame of being gay during the AIDS epidemic in London. And watching it with my wife, it was absolutely heartrending to just be reminded of all the terrible things that went down during that period. I mean, there were some really delightful, wonderful things in the series as well, but it's like these scenes of like watching these parents steal their adult children away from their queer community, and then once they died, pretending that they never existed. Whew, right? Ouch. There's a scene where a man's family gathers up every last bit of his clothing, furniture, even photos from his childhood, and burns them in their backyard. And they're leaving even themselves without anything to grieve over. Whew. Right? And like we see this, and we see how ignoring reality, wishing reality away, divides us from each other, divides us from ourselves, denies us even the most basic comforts and support when we need them most. And we know, like, this isn't hypothetical, right? Like, even for ourselves, right? Letting go of our conditioning, our letting go of our own internalized homophobia, right? Gender phobia, transphobia, it can be such a journey. For so many of us, right? It wasn't easy to say, like, this is me. This is the way I am, right? And even once we've done that, we have to ask ourselves, right? Am I going to hide this? Or am I going to celebrate it? Or am I going to try to navigate some place between these two, right? And of course, for many of us, trying to hide our past isn't even an option. And for others, not hiding isn't an option. And here's the thing, right? Here's the thing we know, right? Queer bodies exist. And I'm here to share with you tonight that our queer bodies are the Dharma. And let's talk terms a little bit for a moment here. Like, what does that mean? What is dharma? So there's what's called capital D dharma, right? Big D dharma, which is the teachings of the Buddha, right? All the teachings of the Buddha. And then there's small D dharma. And small D dharma means, and dharma is Dharma, either small D or big D, right? And small D dharma means phenomena, which is like all objects, all feelings, all experiences, everything we know and live. You just spent, we just spent 30, 25 minutes together, like exploring our own internal dharma, right? All the thoughts and everything arising as you practice, right? But even these two dharmas, even little D dharma and big D dharma, are not that separate. So Thich Nhat Hanh talks about how there's this idea of the small D dharma realm, which includes everything. It's called I don't remember what the Sanskrit word is for it, but it includes everything. The small D dharma realm includes everything, right? It's these computer screens that we're looking at each other through. It's the light around us. It's the light inside us. It's the cosmos. It's like everything, everywhere, all at once, right? Those are the little D dharma. That's the little D dharma realm. And then there's also this thing that's called the dharma body, the dharmakaya. It's the body of the dharma. And Thich Nhat Hanh says, the body of the dharma body is your practice, your sitting practice, your walking practice, your chanting practice, your laying down practice, your meditation, your contemplation, your spiritual practice, right? This is the dharmakaya, the dharma body. So you have a dharma body, right? You were just practicing with it. We're practicing with it right now as we're like, as you're listening, as you're taking this in, right? You have a dharma body. It's a body of the dharma. And it's right here in this practice of sangha and us just being together with the teachings. So the body is the dharma. The body is dharma. It exists. It's part of reality. It's impermanent. It's imperfect. It's impersonal. And it's how we experience the world, right? And everything around you is dharma. Everything around us teaching us the Dharma. I'll share with you, some of you might have heard of this really wonderful teacher. She teaches at Spirit Rock. Her name is Margarita Loynez. She was actually a doctor in San Francisco during the AIDS epidemic, and now she's a Dharma teacher. And she says, and I love this, I remember hearing this from her in a Dharma talk. She says, everything is broadcasting enlightenment. And let me say that again, right? Let it sink into your Dharma body. Everything is broadcasting enlightenment. Every little thing. This body, this life, this annoying roommate, this leaky bathtub, right? Look around your space, right? Look around and just open up to that possibility in this moment. Everything is broadcasting enlightenment. And what does that really mean, right? How can every little thing be inviting us to rest into our enlightened selves? And I love Thich Nhat Hanh, like breaks this down a little bit for us. He says, a tree standing in the front yard is teaching the Dharma. A river, a cloud, everything is teaching you the Dharma. And the Dharmakaya, the Dharma body, is available in the here and now. The Buddha is available. And this flower is one manifestation of the Buddha. And if you listen to it, if you contemplate it, you can touch the nature of no birth and no death in it. It's teaching you the Noble Eightfold Path. It's teaching you impermanence, no self. A pebble, a butterfly, a river are also giving a Dharma talk. They're all talking about impermanence, no self, interbeing, no birth, no death. So you can say that this flower is the manifestation of the Dharmakaya, the Dharma body. And your body also is teaching you impermanence, no self, interbeing, no birth, and no death. And if you listen to your body, you listen to the Dharma also. If you listen to your body, you listen to the Dharma also. Just let that land for a moment. How does that feel in your body? Let's listen to our bodies, our queer bodies, right? That tell us we belong, that we've always belonged, right? We are nature and nature is queer. So very queer. And I'll share with you, there's an article from Claire Egan, and the reference to it is, we'll share with you. It's, she says, media coverage of the natural world rarely acknowledges it, but queerness exists everywhere we look. Homosexuality can be found in 1,500 species. In the wild, there are also examples of asexuality, gender fluidity, polyamory, sexual voraciousness, including gender-swapping fish, sadomasochistic snails, genderqueer lions, birthing male seahorses, partially asexual ants, same-sex songbirds and flamingos, aroused bonobos, and exuberantly sexual dolphins. And just this last summer, I was sitting at a practice retreat at Big Bear, and I was sitting with a group of fellow queers, and this giant green beetle with fuzzy pink antenna just bumped into my head and then fell upside down on the table in front of me. And it was like waving its legs around. And of course, my friend is there saying, "Nature is so queer." And we were just like, we were just watching it. And it was like the fuzzy pink antenna and like the bright green, like shiny beetle. It looked like it was ready for a catwalk. It was like a miniature flying drag queen. And we were all just admiring this giant beetle and wondering if it was going to be okay. And then it turned itself over and flew right into my eye. I was like, ouch. I was like, okay. Like, what are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to get me to wake up to, giant beetle? Like, rain view? I'm not sure, but I'll try to figure it out, right? And, you know, like, what? How is this little beetle, right, broadcasting enlightenment? Wake up, Kimber. And of course, when I got home, I tried to figure out what this bug was, and I couldn't find it anywhere. But I did find some other really amazing bugs. So I'm going to show you some of these. And you can see for yourself, right, how queer like these insects are. And I want you to imagine these bugs as inspiration for outfits on RuPaul's Drag Race. So Caitlin's going to share this this little slideshow with us. There we go. Look at this guy. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, go ahead to the next one. This one, the resolution isn't very good, but I love that little like, hey. Yeah, go ahead, let's see the next one. There you go. Look at these. Aren't they so fabulous? Look at those antenna. Isn't that amazing? Next one. Oh, I love this little fuzzy butterfly. Looking so fabulous. It's like it's wearing like fuzzy leg warmers. And then just all the colors. So beautiful. Yeah, thank you, Caitlin. Yeah, so I love this, and just that, insects are just like one corner of like how fabulously queer nature is, right? And I'll share with you the four lessons. There's Nicole Seguin wrote an article called "Nature is Queer and We Should Embrace It," and she says that queerness isn't a mistake or a departure from how things should be. It's quite literally woven through the natural world. And so her four lessons are, number one, that queer ecology recognizes that nature is fluid and non-binary. Two, that numerous wildlife species challenge our ideals about sexual and gender roles, right? As I mentioned earlier. And three, that queerness is also about collaboration and interdependence among people and the whole of nature. That chosen and family communities and connections are also part of nature as well. We see it in lots of other species. And then four, queer ecology invites us to see the natural world in all of its glittery, rainbow-colored glory. Right? We're here, we're queer, we're nature, we're Dharma. We're celebrating our aliveness, right? We belong to nature. We belong to the earth. I want to share with you an excerpt from wonderful writer, activist, queer philosopher Adrienne Marie Brown, who says, "Ah, but what if this is the ideal body after all? This body which once danced all night and still waited to see the sunrise. This body which has known so many kinds of touch, from lovers who wanted it and who didn't want it, from doctors who saw it and didn't see it, from children who did not hesitate to surrender tears or laughter or dreams onto my bosom. What if this body has kept me from becoming a monster, kept me humble, stilled me from ego with sufficient doubt? What if this body was the ideal protection from the death throes of patriarchy? If this body was a lighthouse to the lovers who knew freedom was the arousing aspect? And what if this body is the ideal body for what is coming?" What if this is the ideal body, this one right here that you're with right now? We see all over those who would like to pretend that we don't exist, that somehow inexplicably we're unnatural. But it's really good to notice that most, if not all, of the same people who deny the existence of queer bodies and queer lives are oftentimes the same ones in denial about climate change. Right? It shouldn't be this way, so it's not this way. Right? The idea that as humans that we should be able to dominate the world and bend it to our will, right? It's brought us to the precipice of destruction, right? Quite simply. Like we can pretend that things can be should be different, but that doesn't make them other than what they are. And in our practice, in our Dharma body, there's this remembering, right? We are not separate and we never have been. We are not separate from each other or from ourselves or from the universe, from the Dharma being taught by the wind and the rain. We're not separate from all those human and more than human beings around us. We're separate. We're not separate from our own process of growth and aging, or by how we meet the crises in our own community or on the other side of the world. From writer Megan Flaherty, she says, "There is no dualism. There is no big divide. We are all connected with or without souls. Hierarchy, any domination in the web of life hurts everyone. All flourishing is mutual. We flourish, all of us together, or we flourish not at all. We start respecting all these others, nature perhaps first and foremost, or we die." We are the Dharma body. The earth is the Dharma body. The earth has been separated and othered in ways that we can deeply relate to. And so we remember and are remembered, like the Buddha placing his hand on the earth for reassurance, for support on the night of his enlightenment. Our queer, natural, radiant aliveness has always been here, passed down through our bodies from our most ancient ancestors. And there's good news. Our healing and the earth's healing are not separate. If any of you have read Robin Wall Kimmerer's wonderful book, Braiding Sweetgrass, she says any action on behalf of life will be reciprocated. We restore the land, and the land restores us. We restore the land, and the land restores us. So may we end our own patterns of denial, right? Denial of reality, any ways in which we deny ourselves or our hearts, right? To know, to remember, Dharma is the opposite of denial, right? Seeing things the way they are. So let's celebrate our bodies as Dharma, right? These Dharma bodies that we move through the world in, learning, exploring, deepening our understanding of ourselves and each other. Dharma is seeing the world the way it is, seeing ourselves the way we are, accepting ourselves as we are, as nature in all of its brilliant queerness. So just notice for a moment, how does all this land in your queer body, in your Dharma body? How can you tend to your queer Dharma body. How can you celebrate its aliveness or attend to your own need for connection and belonging? And this is what I want to open up for us. Open up for us as a discussion, as a share. I would love to hear from you. If you feel like raising a hand or sharing in the chat, right? This question, I'll put it into the chat for us. Oops.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.